T-Mobile 5G internet keeps getting better. Boost your connection to harder-to-reach places with home internet plus and get internet right where you want it.
With Wi-Fi that reaches the attic, I finally have a home office.
Get T-Mobile home internet plus for $50 a month with autopay and a Go 5G plus line. Check availability at T-Mobile.com/home internet.
During congestion, customers on this plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using greater than 1.2 terabytes per month due to data prioritization. After $20 bill credit plus $5 per month without autopay, debit or bank account required. Regulatory fees included for qualifying accounts. $35 connection charge applies.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number five, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to On Texas Football. It's time for this week's State of the Program. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by C.J. Vogel of On Texas Football, brought to you by Adam Lowia, the Lowia Law Firm. We appreciate him. Hey, C.J., let's get started. Today's conversation, each and every State of the Program, we try to take a larger viewpoint of the program. You wrote something today for OnTexasFootball.com that everybody can go check out and kind of reference as we discuss this a little bit. But it was the scholarship count at the University of Texas currently. And right now, the Texas Longhorns at 89 going into what we believe will be summer, right? Now, obviously, we are approximately 12 days away from the spring or from the portal reopening up. Texas has a scholarship limit, as does every single university, of 85 football scholarships. So there's got to be a net loss here for Texas over the next 2 to 3 weeks, month's time after the spring game. Let's talk a little bit about that and kind of go position by position and see what we're thinking overall. Let's start and do it the right way by quarterbacks. And we're going to tell you all each and every how many each position has. Quarterbacks right now at 3, with obviously with Quinn Ewers, Arch Manning, and Trey Owens. That's pretty straightforward. You know, the question right now for a quarterback is not who the number one is, not who the number two is, not even the number three, but what they're going to do in recruiting as it relates to KJ Lacy. But quarterback, let's go ahead and skip that because I think it's fairly straightforward. We do think that Quinn Ewers is making some headway toward becoming even a better prospect than he was a year ago, particularly a better player, hearing about him being a little bit quicker with his reach. Let's talk about running back, though, CJ. 6 guys all total. And in your breakdown, I thought it was very interesting. You had not only the adults in the room are Jaden Blue and Savion Redd. They're both juniors. Then you have Cedric Baxter and Trey Wisner, sophomores, followed by Christian Clark and Jarrett Gibson, the two newcomers. I think there's probably going to be attrition there this offseason. One or two, I don't know. I doubt there's two, or at least I wouldn't hope. But if you're circling anybody, you think it might be Savion Redd.
Yeah, I think he would be the one guy of that group that you could look at and say it would make much more sense for him than anybody else in that group. Obviously, Jaden Blue and C.J. Baxter, you consider them to be your 1-2 this year. Sarkisian's been praising Trey Wisner all offseason, and we've yet to see exactly where the two freshmen kind of fit in. Though, you know, it's fair to give these freshmen the benefit of the doubt and expect them to last more than, 15 practices on campus with their school that they just signed to a couple months ago. So if there is one, Savion Redd to me is kind of that guy. And it kind of does make sense, Texas tried to find a role for him last year. There was success in the red cap formation. I would say Texas kind of went away from that as the season progressed. It kind of ran out of tricks. And also, at 240 pounds that he came in now, I like to think the Texas staff would like to trim that down and might not be as pleased with that weight gain as some other weight numbers that we've seen fluctuate this offseason.
I will say this. I agree with you. The red cat became less effective as the season wore on. A couple of turnovers, one botched play against Kansas State in particular is one I'm thinking about. But I will say this. Savion Redd, it has been a good teammate. Definitely. Like you can say what you want about whether or not he fits, he doesn't, et cetera. I don't think Sark wants him out the door. The guy has been a really, really good teammate. You see him cheering on his team all the time, very charged up every time he gets in the game. The thing that's going to happen in this team, CJ, and you and I know it, there are going to be guys that leave that Texas doesn't necessarily want to see go. Yeah. But let's move on. All right, six running backs total. We think they're probably going to carry five. We think, again, we can't make these guys decisions for them and don't have that kind of insight, but we think they're going to end up at five. Wide receivers, a different story. Texas has 10 total, but eight of them are complete new, or seven of them are complete newcomers to the program. Four via the high school recruiting, three via the transfer portal. Only Jonte Cook, Ryan Niblett, and DeAndre Moore return. And you know what? There's not a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of older guys in this. Silas Bolden is going to be the oldest of the group of receivers on campus, and he's not even there yet. What do you think Texas comes out of spring with here? Do you think they stick at the 10 receivers? Because there's not a lot of guys that you would earmark maybe as potential transfers.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I would put that over under at, you know, 0.5. And I'd say that because everybody's basically brand new. You know, you only have three guys that are entering year two in the program right now, and two of which are running with your first team. So the question mark becomes, what kind of future does Ryan Niblett see with the team? What kind of future does the team see with Ryan Niblett? Right now, I'd have to imagine that there's some usage for that speed that he brought to campus, because he is a very quick. He's a 10-4, 10-5 guy in the 100 meter. He has some impressive skills that have yet to be really seen or showcased in this team. So it's interesting. A 10 at the wide receiver spot, 7 brand new. I have to imagine you don't see a whole lot of movement at this spot. I feel like obviously – all that movement that we saw happened right after the season in the December window.
Yep. And that's going to be interesting, because could somebody turn around and transfer really quick after only being there a semester? That would be a weird deal.
Be surprised.
You wouldn't think it's one of the new receivers either. I don't know. Niblett, DeAndre Moore, if he doesn't see a path to the field, even though we know he's competing like heck right now, who knows? Tight end. You know, the Longhorns carrying six tight ends. They haven't always done that. They've been more in the five range. Obviously, they go to the portal to get Amari Nyblack. You wouldn't think he's going to be one of them. You think that for sure Gunnar Helm is the returning starter at the position, co-starter with the JT Sanders like he was last year. Then you have a group of guys. Not only Juan Davis, who has yet to see time, and he's the older one of the group. And then you have young guys like Spencer Shannon and Will Randall, who have yet to be able to play much. But you have a young guy like Jordan Washington that may be as good as any of them long term. How do you see, is the over under on this? I like how you did that. 0.5 on this transfer level too, plus or minus.
Yeah, I think that's a fair number. And it's interesting again, because you haven't seen much of Will Randall, who was recovering from an ACL injury a year ago. Spencer Shannon, you did not see him on the field very often at all in 2023. But whether or not Jordan Washington becomes a threat to their eventual growth and development on the field is something that we'll certainly be watching for the remainder of the spring. Right now, we've heard great things about Jordan Washington. And will he catapult those guys in the depth chart and maybe see the field earlier? That'll be interesting because, again, he's looked the part. He's grown, you know, or he's added 20, 25 pounds to his frame since he signed as a Longhorn in December. You watch him in practice. He doesn't necessarily look out of shape or out of position at the point. So that's encouraging early on for Jordan Washington. The other one that's interesting to me is Juan Davis, because again, he's kind of been on the back burner his time at Texas. You know, he's kind of been one of those guys that you've seen in filler situations late. I think there's a role for him on this team, and I think it's, again, a very similar kind of scheme fit than what you see with Amari Nyblack, what he can do vertically down the field. He has great hands, probably not as quick, but he knows the system and he knows what it takes to be on the field here. Competing in this group, I don't necessarily think he is a candidate at the moment, but we'll see, because, again, the love for football trumps just about everything else when it comes to these guys and whether or not they find the field at Texas or anywhere else.
All right, I want to say thanks to our sponsor before we go on to offensive line, where the numbers get a little bit, they change a little bit at OL. The plus minus isn't 0.5. CJ there. Let's say thank you to Adam Lowy, our sponsor. Adam's been helping injured Texans for at least two decades now in the Austin area. Give him a call. He can do anything statewide. LowyLawFirm.com. Call Adam and his group, and they will give you a free consultation, no questions asked, and allow you to give your piece, and then they can tell you whether or not they think you might be due compensation. No strings attached. Again, LowyLawFirm.com. Thank you, Adam, for your sponsorship of On Texas Football. Offensive line, a different scenario than we discussed with the other groups. We were looking to see where you might skim some people in not knowing for sure if it's going to happen. Offensive line, I almost feel like it's without question we're going to see some movement there. You agree with that? I mean, is the plus minus there too?
Yeah, I would even say 2.5. You know, do you see 3 enter? Because again, when Sarkisian and Flood took over this group, Bobby, remember how many guys they had on scholarship at the position? 9. You know, it was significantly less than the wide receiving group that was on campus at the same time. Today, it's in at 18. They've more than doubled the amount of scholarship offensive linemen on campus in just under 4 years. You know, it's been a tremendous turnaround from what it was a few years ago. So, to me, 18 is a lot. And I think they see that as well. You want to take 4 or 5 offensive linemen every year. But right now, you'd also kind of attribute that number because of attrition, you know, and I think a little bit of that is, you know, you've seen Jake Majors return, you've seen Hayden Connor return, you've not seen those top guys at the kind of the older statesmen in the room depart. You know, Christian Jones was the only offensive lineman the last 2 years, aside from Sawyer Gorham Welch, a converted defensive lineman who's left the program, and that was to go to the NFL. So it's kind of gotten clogged at the top right now. I'm looking at guys kind of in that 2023 class who have yet to really taste the field that might see their road to, you know, the starting lineup a bit clogged at the moment.
All right. Interesting. You know, I will say this. 2, I think Texas can get away with without it hurting the depth. The wrong 3, and this is not good for Texas offensive line for the future. Because to your point, look, you could have 3 of these starters, maybe 4, go pro after this year. Majors and Connor are both seniors. Kelvin Banks, you think, is destined for the NFL. We know DJ Campbell wants to go a year early. You start getting into 3, that start cutting the depth for next year, which could be a big piece for the Longhorns.
Could get dicey. Yeah.
It's going to be difficult. I mean, keeping guys like Malik Ogbo, for example, is really big for the long-term depth. Now, he's got a place on this team right now, a real place, as that bonus size tight end, right? The jumbo tight end. But he's also got a place maybe at guard long-term for Texas. And so, especially if you lose both or 2 of 3 after this season, and then maybe someone like Cole Hudson or Nato, one of those two transfer, then you're really cutting deep to where they're not going to be able to replenish for next year. So O-line, of all these positions, CJ, I think people are rightly most concerned about getting cut too much at O-line. Our defensive tackle, defensive end. Texas has 9 scholarship defensive tackles, 10 scholarship defensive ends. Plus minus on those 2 spots, in your opinion?
You know, this is an interesting one because I'm looking at the edge spot, especially with the addition of Trey Moore this year and Colin Simmons, to think,
And Zena.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, let me even add the return of Colton Vosick. You know, what does that mean for guys like Jamon Tapp, Tasilia Kano, who we've yet to see, you know, kind of get to that spot physically that we'd like off of the edge for Texas? Justice Finkley, he's a guy that's been around, a great program guy. Players love him in the locker room. But that's a guy that wants to play football, and that's a guy that passed up going to Alabama to come to Texas away from being home. So it's interesting if you're in those guys' shoes and you start seeing what else is in this room and seeing that room, again, start getting pretty crowded. You know, is Texas the best spot for me to get on the field? And I think that those are kind of the guys I'm looking at right now on the edge spot that might be, you know, a little teetering at the moment.
Right, and this isn't a pleasant discussion we're having.
No, not at all.
Nobody wants to, you know, think about, hey, these guys that are – all of these guys have been good Longhorns. So it's not that question.
No, and it's, it's not fun to speculate on whether or not guys want to stick around or want to depart. It's just, if I were in the shoes of a couple of these guys on campus and I'm seeing what's coming on to campus, especially with these recruiting classes coming in and the portal, I'm thinking my path to the field might not be as clear cut as I thought it would be 3, maybe even 4 months ago when I knew what was on campus at the end of the season.
You think the over-under of the outflow there is a 1? You think
that's I would take the over at 1. I think that's fair. The defensive line is interesting to me because
the interior. Yeah, the interior.
The interior defensive line is interesting because I think you look at it, Bobby, with a different, you know, bit of light. It's wide open in the sense that, you know, Trell Carter's gone. He was kind of your guy that you were hoping to return to replace Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy a year ago. But again, it's very top heavy. You know, you have T.S. Avea, Alfred Collins, Vernon Broughton. Those are your three seniors you expect to depart after a year. What's next? If you're, you know, Sadir Mitchell and you're, you know, still in your, you know, developmental progressing phase, do you wait it out another year because you know it's wide open afterward? That'll be interesting to me.
And Bledsoe, you don't know where he's going to come in at. Melvin Hills hasn't even arrived yet. Sadir Mitchell, look, he's been up and down like a roller coaster at Texas during his time. Alex January seems to be doing well. And here's the issue. Zach Swanson's not played yet. I think that's fair to say. Aaron Bryant, they like, but, I mean, he's young and still not necessarily a plus player at this point. But it takes time, so we have to put it all out there. My take on it is they may lose one or two of the existing guys, but they're going to bring in one or two. So I think the net is likely to be 0. So if you're trying to, you know, how we're getting this roster from 89 to 85, I think the roster is more likely to be net 0 or net plus 1 at defensive tackle through the portal. You agree with that?
I do. I do agree with that.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to linebacker. 8 linebackers in all. CJ, you can run down the depth chart as it relates to what year they are. Clearly, David Benda and Maurice Blackwell and Anthony Hill, probably the top 3 right now. But there are other guys on the list as well.
Yeah, you know, David Benda, you know, Kendrick Blackshear coming in from the portal, and Mo Blackwell are your 3 elder statesmen in the room. That's not too surprising. What's interesting now is you're dealing with a very, you know, young group here. You don't have a Jalen Ford to bridge that gap. David Benda would be that, but I wouldn't say necessarily that the production and experience on the field matches what we saw from Jalen Ford and even DeMarvion Overshown from their junior to senior years. That'll be even a step for David Benda next year, I would say. But Anthony Hill, Leonga LaFau, you expect them to stay and remain big pieces of this defense moving forward. It'll be interesting what happens with the redshirt freshmen. You know, Darren Gallette, Samaje Burrell, are they seeing the signs of a future at Texas, especially with Ty Anthony Smith coming into to campus now, a guy that works very hard, might not have the physical body just yet, but we know that those kind of small town guys, you know, kind of blossom the minute they get to campus and, you know, kind of get up to speed with nutrition and the offseason workout packets. So that'll be interesting because, again, Samaje Burrell was a guy out of North Crowley coming out of high school, was coveted by a number of in-state Texas schools, you know, TCU, SMU, Baylor, Texas Tech. They pursued Samaje Burrell very heavily. So that'll be interesting because I'm sure that market will still be around this fall if that's something that he opts to look around for.
Yeah, and I'll say this. With Gallette, one thing to remind yourselves, David Benda singled him out as a young player that was coming on during his media availability last week. So I would say put it at plus minus 0.5 at this point. So minus 0.5 most likely for the Longhorns there. Now let's move on to defensive back. 16 guys in all right now running for 5 different starting positions. Not a bad number at all. If you're a player, it's not that heavy. But there may be some movement here because it's getting a little crowded with some high-end guys. Not only at nickel where Jahdae Barron came back, Jalen Gilbo returns and is looking better, but also at safety where, you know, you got to wonder, is there anybody there or anybody at corner that feels like they're getting passed over? I don't know. I don't know the feeling at this point. But you'd have to think with 16 of your players, that's basically 1/6 or 1/5 of your roster. You'd have to think that it's likely you lose somebody to the portal at this point, right?
Yeah, I actually like the construction of this room probably the most, you know, excluding quarterback right now, because you have your top line players as your, you know, juniors and seniors on the roster. You look at it right now, Jahdae Barron, starter, Andrew Mukuba, starter, Gavin Holmes, your cornerback three, who's gotten run with the first team this spring. Go to the junior class, Terrence Brooks, starter, Jalen Gilbo, a very, very well-respected nickel that can back up and play outside corner as well. Michael Taft, he's a big-time contributor in the back half as well. The one question mark to me there is Austin Jordan. You know, coming into year three with the program, is there a continual path to the field? We've, you know, not seen him too much during his time as a Longhorn. That would probably be the big question mark to me, because I think Texas has a plan when you go down the list throughout this, the remaining, you know, redshirt freshmen and freshmen at the moment, to say that there's a spot and there's a path for these guys as they arrive. The five guys in this upcoming class, Texas is very high on. Obviously, Santana Wilson has yet to arrive and will arrive in June. But the rest of the guys right now, Bobby, we've looked at and watched in practice and said, yeah, they don't look too out of place. You know, they look like they could be contributors in the long run for the Longhorns. And I think that's something that could eventually become an issue for a guy like Austin Jordan. And we'll see what happens with Warren Roberson moving forward.
All right, we're going to keep going here. And Texas is uniquely situated at punter kicker. We're going to talk about that last, but certainly not least. Thanks again to our sponsor, Adam Lowy. If you've been injured in a car wreck, motorcycle accident, or otherwise, make sure you give Adam a shout. LowyLawFirm.com, 20-plus years experience in and around the Austin area. If you've been injured and think you might be due compensation, give Adam and his team a no-strings-attached call. Visit them at LowyLawFirm.com. All right, I mentioned uniquely situated. Texas actually does not have Bert Auburn on scholarship at this point. Young man led the country in field goal attempts last year, not on scholarship. Now, he's been receiving NIL, but no scholarship. The only punter that's on scholarship at this point is Michael Kern, okay? I don't know what their plans are for Auburn, if they're going to keep him on NIL. I don't know if they're going to go out and get another punter via the portal. But look, there's no room to cut here. If they're doing anything, they're adding – back to that number of 89. They're not going to be cutting. I forgot to say, I would take the over and under on transfers at DB at -2, possibly. That would be my over under number right now.
Okay.
But so you look at punter, kicker. I mean, maybe you make Bert Auburn a scholarship guy and add a punter through the portal. So it might end up being +2 here. You agree with that?
I think so. I think that's an interesting one because, you know, you'd like to reward Bert Auburn for making and attempting the most field goals of any kicker in the country a year ago. I think that's something that he deserves, and rightfully so. That's a big part of the game that, you know, I think he's done a mighty fine job of. So that's one that I'd like to see Texas have a roster or a scholarship spot open for him at the conclusion of this window because, again, you know, that's one of those things. Guy's a big part of your team, reward him, and that goes a long way, obviously, moving forward. But it is interesting, again, to see just if Texas and Coach Banks, you know, sees the path for Michael Kern to be that guy right away as a Longhorn. I'm interested, again, to see what he can do with that leg the minute he gets on campus, because punting at Texas over the last couple of years has been a big weapon. You know, it's been something Texas does not want to leave up for trust or to you know, basically roll the dice with. With Ryan Sandberg coming out of the portal a year ago, and obviously we've seen what Michael Dixon can do as a Longhorn. It's one of those things, if you have a good punter, you want him out there. If you have a shaky punter, you don't want to be in that position.
All right, I'm looking at this. I think +1 is the number, whether that's Auburn becoming a scholarship guy or them adding a punter through the portal. I think they're going to go +1. So, look, they're at 89 now, and I'm going to recap what we've got, and this will sum it up. At running back, we think -1 over under, right? At wide receiver and tight end, we have -0.5. So really just add that up to one total number. That's -2. At offensive line, we have -2 to -2.5. So that would be an average of -4 total. Then we have defensive tackle where we said plus one. So now we go back to actually three. So we're actually minus three from 89 at 86. Going on to defensive end, we had minus one. So that's minus four overall. Linebacker, we had minus 0.5. So probably 4.5. And then actually in the secondary, put minus two. So that would be six to six and a half. Then you go to punter. It's plus one. Punter kicker, plus one. So that's back to 0.5. So 89 minus five is 84. They got one to play with there, kind of, is what it looks like. It's going to be tight.
Yeah.
And it'll be key to see who exactly goes in the portal in a couple weeks. I mean, that's
yeah, and I think it's fair to expect a surprise or two. You know, never know. It happens every cycle when the window opens up, a guy enters his name. And, again, it doesn't necessarily always mean that they'll leave, but it does mean that they will be looking around and kind of shopping themselves. So it is always, you know, one of those things that you can sit here and guess and, you know, kind of give yourself a mock draft almost of who will enter the portal and who won't. But you never know until they actually submit the paperwork and get out there and see what's available for them.
Okay. All right. That's going to do it, CJ, for today. I think that maybe one of the bigger things we're looking at this spring, other than the performance on the field and development of the players, is how the roster is going to end up 3 weeks from now to actually 8 weeks from now. Yep. You know, after you get through spring ball, and then the portal, kind of that gap is from April 15 to May 15 this year. So we've really got about 6 to 8 weeks of trying to follow this through. And the key for me is I don't want to see Texas get – I think they're going to get dinged. They've got too good a roster right now for some attrition not to hurt, in my opinion. Too good a roster. But you don't want it to be chunks of you taken away, right? You want it, yeah. You want it to be players that aren't necessarily going to affect you this year, and ones that have a path to being a starter, not taken off a year soon. All right, that's going to do it for today's State of the Program. Thanks again to Adam Lowy, our sponsor of TheLowyLawFirm.com. I'm Bobby Burton for CJ Vogel and our producer, Matt Hutchison. This has been State of the Program. Welcome.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit HighFiveCasino.com. That's high, the number five, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.